For September the 1st, 2017, we talk about Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, the post-facto Half-Life 3 story leak, and we ask you about video game remakes. Welcome to Level 210. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Meismath.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Rocking at three style tonight as Dennis is getting settled in his new home. And there's a reality we have to address. Jal is in Houston. And if you're listening far in the future, this is the Tuesday after the weekend where they were pummeled and are continuing to be pummeled by first hurricane and now tropical storm Harvey. So she is not able to join us tonight. However, she wants everybody to know that her family and her pets are all doing well. I mean, not doing well. They're alive. They're fine, and they are in no danger. They are not in the path of any new floodwaters that are coming in. Like they're not near where like where the levees are, where the dams are, that are either overflowing or being, you know, released in a controlled way. You know, they're not out of the woods at this current time. They may, you know, be flooded again. Some of her artwork was damaged, and there may be some, you know, she might be trying to sell some stuff afterwards to raise money for house repairs and stuff. But for right now, their life and well-being is fine. It's so weird to make it like a semi-official sounding statement like this, reading from a thing she tried to send from a thing that she sent over. But yeah, she's doing okay. So I'm sure she appreciates all the people who are expressing concern and all of that. All the listeners, you know, continue watching this space and watching her in Jalachan in places. Yeah, for more details. God, that sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all our best go out to her and anybody else who is in the South and being pummeled by this scary, scary thing.
Yeah. We were talking at lunch about this too, and apparently like a lot of people when Katrina hit way back when, like a lot of people moved out of New Orleans, some of whom moved to Texas, some of whom moved to Houston. And that is a really unfortunate situation there too. So.
Yeah, there were people who were, you know, like refugees from Katrina who were either taken to Houston or they went to Houston because it was the nearest, you know, kind of big city like that. Or I think, you know, that might have been a big piece of like FEMA relocation. I don't know how to say that correctly. And yeah, so that is unfortunate to say the least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really jacked up. I'm hoping FEMA is able to, like, I don't know, do some good, you know.
I'm happy that the death toll as of right now is still so low compared to what we saw 12 years ago, things like that. Who knows how it'll ultimately shake out, but it does not appear to be a complete horror show. Just entirely a horror show. What's the difference between those two? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you ready Spiders. To joke? you guys ready to joke about video games?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we should probably follow a somber opening with something entertaining, more entertaining maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe
balance
so.
Balance the taste. Sweet and salty.
Yeah, there we go. It is a complex profile that we're building here. There was no way to segue out of that seamlessly. People don't want to listen to us be like downers about our friend being in danger and all of that. Or all these people, they want to hear us talk about Sonic. Hey, look at him go.
No one wants to hear that.
Look at him go. It's so fast.
Sonic, so fast. Wow, much rings.
Oh, gosh. You guys get up to anything this past week?
Go ahead.
No.
Ben?
I just did normal board game, video game, card game stuff. But we live like 3 hours away from Houston, so it was rainy, but it was not nearly as bad. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like in Austin, not really that accustomed to rain either, right?
It is weird to just have continuous rain for like 2 or 3 days and know that it's going to be like that for 2 or 3 days, but
Yeah.
to be fair, though, I feel like it being Austin, you could have stopped that sentence after "it's just weird."
I mean, we're keeping it that way.
I mean, I guess on the plus side, if anything does happen to Austin, probably people could just, dig into their Burning Man gear and survive for, several months.
There are a lot of bikes, so
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
car
It's
splitting wouldn't be a problem.
hard to imagine there being traffic jams with bikes. Although
I'm
somehow
sure Texas would find a way.
I mean, somehow the Jetsons managed to have traffic jams, and those spaceships can fly up and down too.
So
So
actually, that's a bit of a story. I almost got in a fairly major accident today.
Oh geez, what happened?
So it as happens when hurricanes, it was, we, got some of the rain, although obviously not nearly the same degree, but I was driving to work and basically on a two-way road, a semi coming in the opposite direction basically jackknifed and was like skidding towards me,
Holy
and so I
shit.
had to kind of juke around the end. So
Wait.
luckily it was, no problem, but it was a little bit of one of those "wow, that just happened" type of situations.
Where was this? I'm sorry, I know we get hyper local a lot of the time. Like, where was this?
So this was, you take, okay, to get hyper local, you take like exit 8A off. So it would have been like what, like Ridge Road or
Yeah,
whatever.
going on Ridge by Myburgh. It's yeah, they got the Myers over there. Yeah.
So
Hey,
basically,
there,
buried the
four
lead
people.
with how your day's going.
Yeah. You didn't even mention this in the pre-show. Okay, so you're headed off. You're going right to go to Meijer. You're heading left to go over to McDonald's or to the Big Lots.
And so basically what I think happened is the semi, took a turn, and how semis do the, wide turns, and just like in the middle of the turn kind of started hydroplaning or something.
Okay.
And so, I mean, luckily it was, fairly low speed. This wasn't some kind of like Michael Bay type of situation, but
Right.
still a little, I
Yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, and it's raining, so your ability to gracefully maneuver in a way that doesn't have you similarly losing control.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
Oh God. Well, I'm happy that didn't happen to you. That would have sucked.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate.
Yeah. Well,
Let's segue into the brief where I have another sad story.
yeah, let's do that. So we've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
The brief.
the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Ben, keep the bummer train rolling. What do we got?
Yeah, Half-Life 3 probably is not going to happen. So this is kind of a little bit of an old story. It got leaked last Friday, but things happen quick, but it's basically an ex-Valve writer put a post on, I think, his personal blog, that was just the plot for what would have been Half-Life 2 Episode 3. He had used different names, I think, on the original post that he had. But he basically described in detail kind of like the plot points of what would happen in the entire game. I don't maybe don't want to go over all the specific plot points if people want to keep themselves like hidden from some of the details of this, or they don't want it spoiled for them.
Right.
But one of the last paragraphs of the writing thing, a lot of people have interpreted because he wrote this in first person as Gordon Freeman.
Okay.
And it was being addressed to the player, like it literally said "Dear player," and it was signed Gordon Freeman. basically describing his experience that would have been in the game. And the last paragraph of it was talking about a lot of people interpreted it as being kind of like a metaphor. It said something along the lines of like, I don't recognize a lot of the people around here. Like a lot of the research team has changed. And like a lot of people interpret that as like him saying that about Valve as a company, or a lot of people who worked on the original Half-Life and Half-Life 2 aren't at the company anymore. And that company has kind of changed focus. And so it's different from what it was then. Yeah. So the story is pretty interesting. There were a lot of like cool kind of science fiction plot points that they had to it. There were some interesting dramatic twists as well. It definitely sounded like a very interesting story. But a lot of people are speculating that this is kind of like the nail in the coffin. I think the reason why he was able to post this story was like his NDA was up, so he was able to talk about like the story. But yeah. So either, I don't know. I guess I haven't heard anything about Valve responding to this at all, so
no.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm including the link to this in the show notes. What you shared here is a Rock Paper Shotgun article. So if somebody wants to take a look, if you don't mind being spoiled, we're not going to spoil it on the show. Go ahead and do that. TheLevelPodcast.com/210. I don't know. Is this person? Is it confirmed that they had worked for Valve before?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. People jump at shadows so much about this stuff. I don't know that this actually means anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing because, like, on the one hand, you know, Half-Life 3 seems like one of those things that's kind of, you know, a no-brainer. You know, in terms of, you know, it's clearly at least going to make money, if not, you know, be successful. But on the other hand, like, Valve doesn't really make games anymore.
And that's the thing. If there's anything about this that I believe, it would be the sentiment that somebody who made games, who worked at Valve at one point, might have looked around and thought, hey, all the people who make games have left. And so, it may be a foregone conclusion that Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3 or any new Half-Life content for that matter, it may be a foregone conclusion that it will make money, but it probably won't return on investment like a similar investment in something related to Steam or something related to, you know, to Dota or any of these other things that people criticize Valve for working on instead of. I mean, I think I can fairly say, at least among the three of us, the kinds of games that we would enjoy, which are these right. big, you know, single player style things.
Well, because, I mean, the last game they made would be, Portal 2?
I think it was Dota in 2013.
Well, okay, I guess depending on your definition of game, the last...
I mean, Dota's undoubtedly a game, but I mean, like, again, the last kind of game that again that we would have
wasn't a mod.
yeah and they've been working consistently on like Team Fortress 2 and stuff like that. Like there is still game development happening, but again they're not making the kinds of things that we want to see them make. So like you could probably say like the last thing they did was either Portal 2 or I can't remember when Left 4 Dead 2 came out. That might have been around the same time or slightly before Portal 2. But yeah, it's been, let's say, more than 5 years.
Yeah, I think Left 4 Dead 2 was actually significantly before Portal 2, but I could be wrong.
Portal 2 was 2011, so I'm going to hedge my bets and say 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's your read on this, Ben?
I don't, between this and the YouTube series that I'm watching that I talked about a few weeks ago with the guy going through Half-Life 2, it seems just very, I don't know, it's just, like, it's definitely a cool game, or at least Half-Life 2. That's, like, an understatement, right? A lot of people really love it, but I don't know. So it just makes me more, like, nostalgic or whatever. Makes me feel a little bit sad, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's like, I definitely like almost all the games that they made, so... It would be great if they made more games, but at the same time, they got to do what they got to do. So,
yeah.
See, I think the sad thing for me is, I don't think they make. I know I, I read an article recently that was, talking about the idea that like, movies, things like that used to win Academy Awards and things like that used to be movies that people actually saw and cared about. And now you basically have brain dead Michael Bay movies and like art films with very little in between. And I feel like Half-Life was kind to a certain degree an in between. And I feel like there's this kind of a similar dynamic now with video games.
I don't know. Yeah, it's I can't even speak to it. I've moved on. I can't say at what point I did, but it doesn't seem like
Yeah, I
a
guess what I'm
strategy that
saying.
will that will bear fruit to again jump at these shadows.
Yeah, I guess for me, what I'm saying is I'm less sad that Half-Life 3 might not be a thing than I am that games like Half-Life 3 aren't being made.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know, but yeah, that article is included in the show notes there. I haven't had a chance to read over it, but I don't know if this 1,000-page rock paper shotgun article is the thing that I have to read to get that, then I suppose I will read that because I would like to know.
It's not too long. You can read it in like 5 or 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah. Did I say 1,000-page? I meant 1,000-word. 1,000-page. What is this? A David Cage script? Boom. Oh man. I've got one. It's gonna be real quick. Classic Cole talks about either a product release or a product announcement. So I just got my copy of Yakuza Kiwami in today. That is the remake of the first
Why?
the remake of the first Yakuza game. I'm pretty excited to play a little bit of that. However, like right on the eve of this thing being released, Sega and the team behind, the current Yakuza games have announced that they are giving a similar treatment to Yakuza 2, which is the other of the Yakuza games that is on the PS2, right? Like it's pretty difficult to get a hold of and play that. Like it's pretty expensive. I bought it for like $50. It is a very, PS2 is a hard system, and so like eventually will the PS3 games be difficult? I don't know if their intention is to do the same thing with all of the Yakuza games, but this is welcome news at the very least because it gets most of the story up to some level of production value and kind of clarity and playability, which is nice. Yeah.
And this kind of tips off what your answer might be for the multiplayer too.
I mean, I haven't played Yakuza Kiwami, so it's hard to tell, but that is definitely what inspired me to ask that particular question for the multiplayer. So,
Spoiler alert.
spoiler
Yeah.
alert, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, people see it in the show notes. I said it at the very beginning of the episode too. But yeah, it's pretty good. Looks cool. Man, that Yakuza 6 looks good as well. I really got the bug when I played that for WoF, the first Yakuza.
And so the remake, it says it's coming out December in Japan, but unknown when it's coming out to the US, or?
Usually a Yakuza game takes about a year and a half to come here to America.
Okay, cool.
Like their version of Yakuza 6 came out, I think, in January of this year. Or it might have come out like late last year, and I think it's coming to America in February. So,
Okay, gotcha.
yeah, there's a lot of text. There's like a lot of localization that happens, even if they don't
Yeah.
dub the VO.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my story. I got the Steelbox version of Yakuza because that was the only option afforded to me on Amazon. Oh well. Hey, David, what's this Wolfenstein thing that you sent over with the message, I'm going to go full nerd here?
Yeah, so basically, it's an article on the Fizzle Fade. And for those of you who are not Wolfenstein buffs, slash basically haven't read the source code to Wolfenstein for some reason, a Fizzle Fade is the term for a transition they use where when your character either dies or you kill a boss, where single pixels are rapidly turned to a color in one at a time randomly, mm-hmm. until the entire screen is either red if you were killed or blue if you defeat a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue with this is that that's actually kind of hard to do because how do you, randomly, how do you randomly make that many selections while keeping track of the selections you've already made?
Right, right. And so how do, and like, how do you
shuffle, go through it once and turn them all red?
Say that again?
I don't know. Just have a list of all the pixels, shuffle the list, and then go through once, and color them all red.
But it's an incredibly diffuse effect, too. If it was random, like, theoretically, you could have, like, one little square of the screen turn red before everything else as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. Probably not pure randomness.
Yeah.
Although, depending on your definition of random, that should be, like, that should be highly unlikely.
Right.
But so basically the way they did it is they took a how many bits because that matters, a 17 bit number, and made the lower 8 bits the y axis and the upper 9 the x, and mm-hmm. basically selected a random number and then fed it into a linear feedback shift register, which basically is a construct where the output of the output number, it becomes the input of the function, and it kind of produces a pseudo random string of numbers, but it always ends, travels through a cycle and basically ends up where it started. So okay. All you have to do is, start it at a random location and just keep it running till you get back to where you started, more or less.
Huh.
Yeah, you just need to make sure that, like, it's relatively prime, and that way you would cycle through everything. Like, something needs to be relatively prime. That's
right.
Weird. Yeah.
And the other than it just being kind of a cool code thing, another side effect of this is that it caused a lot of problems when they re-released it and it wasn't automatically set to 320x200.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because now the algorithm no longer works.
So the bit or the byte length of the number would change, right? Would need to change for them to get a proper location.
Right.
So if what they're cycling by is not relatively prime, then it might go through a smaller loop and will only hit some of the pixels. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So you can't even just increase the number of pixels. So apparently there was only Wolf 4SDL is the only version that actually managed to implement that. If you need your transitions in your Wolfenstein ports to be, completely canon,
otherwise it's garbage. Throw it out.
Exactly.
So, I feel like they could have easily avoided this by picking just a prime number when they were picking what they were cycling by. Because it means that whatever the updated dimension is, it now has like a factor that whatever they're cycling by had, and so that means that they probably, I don't know, that seems weird.
I mean, if I had to make an educated guess, I would say this is John Carmack being John Carmack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in terms of wanting to find the most kind of baroque slash elegant solution to a problem of this nature Right.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, so I found this on Hacker News, which is kind of one of the big, you know, it's sort of Reddit for, like,
Fishing
Silicon
stories.
Valley.
Yep.
And, you know, CarMax, you know, various, like, blog posts and things he's written and stuff like that will still periodically come up on that.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird that, like, he was someone who, in a lot of ways, like, wasn't just some, like, you know, some, like, Kojima-style, like, you know, visionary, so much as he was, like, also, or, you know, like, a very, very, you know, influential programmer.
Oh, he's
I guess.
A fucking genius. I mean,
yeah.
Like, there's kind of a reason why he left id to go work at Oculus. I don't know if he's still there, but, like, his passion was always in, like, the technical, you know, the technical graphic, you know, kind of simulation side of this, not
right.
So much what you're actually doing.
Yep.
Yeah. No, this is cool. Like, here's how wasteful I am. Like, my solution to this would be just to, like, generate a certain number of bitmaps. you know, and bring it up there and just do some kind of, like, overlay. But, like, given how primitive this stuff is, there probably was no way to actually overlay. Like, this would be a way for them to directly draw, I think, to the output.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, every so often, sometimes, though, those are the you know, right solution. It still entertains me that if you do a large enough file transfer on, like, Amazon AWS, they'll mm-hmm. simply put it on a hard drive and ship it to wherever it's to the other like data center.
Yeah, your tracking bar just turns into a UPS number.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer said question. I posted this one, and I want to again extend the thanks to both Dennis and Jala for doing this every week, most likely, because it is very hard to come up with a question. Hopefully I did okay.
You've already asked over 200, so it's tough.
Yeah. It definitely is. But the question that I ask the nice people is, what is the best remake of a game that you've played? Or what's the worst? What game would you be the happiest to see updated and modernized? Pick one and answer. And I'm going to break my rule here. Usually I throw to somebody else and end with the question asker. But I'm going to go ahead and read Phil's here, which says, my personal favorite has to be Bionic Commando Rearmed. It feels really good to play, and the changes it does make are, for the most part, smart ones. The worst one has to be Flashback. I loved the original Flashback. So to find out there was a remake that I hadn't heard of, I thought, fantastic. After downloading the demo, I had to give it a hard pass. It failed to capture the charm of the original, the movement felt clunky, and the story changes were bad. I was not even aware there was a Flashback remake.
I was not even aware there was a Flashback game.
It was one of those, like an early 90s, I think, game that was kind of in the same vein as, like, Prince of Persia. One of the original ones, like, really, really lush rotoscope animation kind of thing, and like a sci-fi world. It was good and fun, but yeah, I had no idea.
I miss rotoscope.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Wait, rotoscope, is that what I mean?
Yeah,
so like a scanner
dark mean for Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the rotoscope Lord of the Rings cartoon they made?
Oh, yeah.
Trippy as hell.
Yeah, that's how they did Snow White as well.
Yeah, but Snow White, they actually, like, didn't do, like, let's just, you know, do this as drawn by Dolly.
They passed on the nightmare fuel.
Yep.
Yeah, that Bionic Commando Rearmed is actually really good. I think that's available on Steam. I know it's I played it on Xbox Live, but I think it's still a thing.
Is that the 3D one?
So that is the 2.5D game. Like, it is done in 3D polygon graphics, but it still plays as a 2D game, like the original Bionic Commando did. This is as distinct from the 2009 Bionic Commando, like, 3D game, like the one where you're actually, like, over the shoulder and your wife is your arm. Yeah. But yeah.
Did you just say your wife is your arm?
Yeah, they took your wife apart and they used her to power your bionic arm because the organic parts have to be bonded with the host. Can't keep up, David. It's so ridiculous. David, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, "Your picture says it all for me." And remake.
I posted it. The picture I used was a screen grab from Resident Evil, the remake, 2002.
Right. So remake is essential, and the only game not in the Dark Souls franchise that I've finished more than 5 times in the last 15 years. It is so good. The peak of what old school Resi was capable of.
Yep. Remake is definitely my answer. So I'll give a runner-up later on.
Just that picture, she seems very, very calm for the fact that the house is apparently burning down behind her.
Oh, it's just a monster on fire. Yeah. I'm pretty calm around monsters on fire. Just has to happen enough around you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, what does Corbin say?
Corbin says, "My favorite remake is Res Infinite, bringing me an HD version of my favorite game, maybe ever, and adding an area that builds upon what the original Res did, and a taster for maybe a new game. Yes, please. Also a PC version with Oculus Vive support. Yes, please."
Hmm.
I kind of want to believe that Res Infinite is the name of a Resident Evil BioShock Infinite crossover game.
Oh, no.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Travel to dimensions where they're not zombies.
That's the solution.
Game solved.
Yep, it's like the end of that one Rick and Morty episode. Yeah.
Or Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Res Infinite. A lot of fanfare around that. I like the original Res a lot, but I know that Corbin really, really likes it.
Was that like a 5-axis shooter or...
Res initially came out on the Dreamcast. It's like an on rails kind of psychedelic, you're inside a computer shooting things to a beat kind of thing.
Okay.
So like it's like interactive electronic music would be a way that I would put it. And yes, playing that on VR would own bones
until you threw up.
Anything owns bones until you throw up.
Is own bones a thing that people say?
Maybe
it is now.
I had to have heard it from somewhere. I'm not clever enough to have thought that up myself. Anyway, Jeremy writes, "I bring up this series often in these responses, but XCOM and XCOM 2 work for me in a way the original games do not. They've been my gaming happy place for the last few years. Granted, it's a happy place with an acceptable number of losses. ... Yep. I've never played the original XCOM, but I also have never played the current XCOM, so I cannot draw a comparison. I will just believe you.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the new XCOM expansion. That looks really badass.
Without enemies?
Maybe.
No, I was just making that up. I have no idea what it's called.
Oh, it's got a dumb name.
as you do. David, what does Michael say?
Michael says, "Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions, is my favorite remake of all time. There's a lot to love about the original game, but the atrocious localization is not one of them. The War of the Lions, or Waddle, version makes the dialogue much better and very old Englishy. Also, this remake adds multiplayer versus co-op, new items, and new classes. All around, the War of the Lions greatly improves an already awesome game. P.S. If Square update again and add even more stuff, I'd buy it in a heartbeat."
You and me both, man.
Yeah, you know that. But I think the core problem is it's only a matter of time till PETA points out the horrors of using lions for warfare.
Also, a terrible idea. They are very fickle beings. And hey, the male ones, all they do is like lay around and wait for food to be brought to them. Not that I can blame them, but not exactly the best engines of war, I believe. Hey, let me go into my tight five on lions. Hey, what's the deal? Why do they get a king? I don't get a king. I'm an asshole. Yeah, I totally would go nuts on a further remake. And that iPad version of War of the Lions is no joke. It's real good. That's how I played it for the show. And by the show, I mean Watch Out for Fireballs 5 years ago.
Still a show. Yeah. Counts.
God, I'm turning into dust. Yeah, Ben, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, I know a lot of people would like to see Morrowind remade, but I started with Daggerfall. It's still a favorite of mine, though you can't play it much anymore. I'd be interested to see procedural generation done better so you don't get trapped in dungeons. Adding more flavor to all those cities would be great, too.
Yeah.
And so it's got a cool name.
Daggerfall's good.
I saw a thing recently. It was like, some YouTube video that was showing relative size of game maps. And apparently, I think this was specifically kind of relative to like the experience of like traveling across the map. So like actual scale from a practical in-game standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Daggerfall is significantly larger than the map in any of the other Morrowind games.
Yeah, any of the other Elder Scrolls. Oh, without a doubt. I think Arena might even be bigger. I might be making that up, but I remember like it was kind of a big deal, and there was a minor revolt around the time Morrowind came out when they switched to kind of a handcrafted, smaller, more contained 3D world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of those things I wish I could have played it in its time to have an experience like Jonathan's, where like I, you know, can have a version of it in my head that doesn't feel as massively outdated, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I guess all I have left is like running across the continents or waiting for a boat in EverQuest or something like that. Like that'll be my version of it. But even that is tiny compared to what Daggerfall did.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty interested if you decide to run across the continent, you know.
Do a Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That was you, Ben, reading Jonathan's?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike writes, I think it's easier to quantify the idea of remake as improvement when it comes to video games as opposed to movies, for examples, due to their inherently tech-focused nature, at least as far as visuals go. The big question is whether a remake or of an old game can update its mechanics to appeal to the conventions of modern audiences. One example of this that I feel has worked out well is Black Mesa, the Half-Life remake. I'm one of the crazy people who still thinks the original plays just fine as it is. It does. Shut up. That's them. That's Mike putting in that parenthetical. That wasn't me, like, or just going off on his point. But Mike continues, but I will readily concede that someone who has never played it back in the day would likely not enjoy it one bit. Also, I do appreciate the sense of visual continuity that now exists for the whole series. Now, if only they would finish that Zen section. I didn't realize they hadn't finished Zen, because I thought that it was complete. I was following the development of that game for a long while, fell off my radar, and then like it showed up in a Humble Monthly box.
Ooh.
Or something like that. Like, I have a copy of it. It's on my Steam library, for whatever that counts. But yeah, I didn't realize it was incomplete. Shrug.
If nothing else, if I feel like this show is a good reminder that Humble Bundle exists and makes me check it pretty frequently.
That Humble Monthly is no joke. It's a really good way to get a lot of games.
Yeah, they so rarely put on anything I'm at all interested in.
Yeah, there are a couple of tiers of stuff that they offer, and like that lower tier stuff has been kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, a couple months ago, it was like NBA 2K or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like
they have like a really lame game called Vermintide on it right now.
that's the problem. Is the niche of like humbleable games that I'm interested in is so small that I can just buy that niche.
Right, right.
Whereas like, if it was like AAA games, like, there's tons of them that, like, I would never buy, but I like play, you know what I mean? If I could just like pick them up on a bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. I do know that you can read what Greg says.
Really?
Solid segue. Yeah. Go on.
Greg says, favorite remake? Metroid Zero Mission. Worst remake? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Tumped Pre-Shelled. Remake of Turtles in Time. Remake most wanted, Metal Gear from the MSX/NES, done with the MGS engine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, in general, I kind of wish they would do some sort of, like, just massive Metal Gear anthology thing so that I could pick it up and, you know, play it, I don't know, marathon style or whatever.
You can accomplish that actually fairly well by getting the HD remake for PlayStation 3 and then also getting, like, a PSN copy of Metal Gear Solid 1, because the HD remake also has the cell phone versions of Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Were those run on a PlayStation 4?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Still, I could probably make it work.
I mean, yeah, it's also on Vita, but I forget if you have a Vita. I don't believe you have a Vita.
I could probably steal Dennis's.
Man, that thing is attached to his hip. I don't think that.
Yeah, but he's going through a move right now, so like that's opportune times for things to go missing.
I suppose. I really think, given how much he talks about his Vita, I really think he would sorely miss it. Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, one of my favorite remakes would have to be Mortal Kombat, also known as Mortal Kombat 9. The very first cutscene is everyone violently dying at the end of Mortal Kombat Armageddon. After some time travel shenanigans, you get to play through the storylines of the original three Mortal Kombats with several hours of completely absurd cutscenes. The word Soul-Nado is said multiple the word Soul-Nado is said multiple times with a straight face. Also, Mortal Kombat Mythologies : Sub-Zero and Mortal Kombat : Special Forces are 100% still canon. As far as Dream remakes, I'd love to see Square Enix remake basically any of the Front Mission games, especially the action RPG spinoff Front Mission : Gun Hazard.
Hmm.
Sorry for all the colons. I should probably not say this, but whatever.
No, it's funny. I said dot, dot, dot earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Looking at this.
Don't say ellipses. Everyone always, yeah.
I mean, like, that dot, dot, dot is funnier, but ellipses is more accurate. I'm looking at this. Yeah. The last Front Mission game was Front Mission Evolved in 2010. I think that it is ripe, but I also do not think that they. But yeah, I think Square has kind of lost interest. Maybe I don't know. Given the way this appears to have reviewed, it's possible. Let's see. John writes, beats an old drum. Tactics Ogre, also. Final Fantasy 12 HD and Wind Waker HD. I'm going to imagine that they are referring to Tactics Ogre, Let Us Clean Together, the recent Final Fantasy 12 HD remake, and Wind Waker HD. I need to grab that. I think Wind Waker HD is finally, like, dropped in price. I think it might be like a $20 game now.
What systems is that?
Wind Waker HD.
Yeah,
that's on Wii U.
Oh, I'm gonna have to grab that.
Yeah, because I think it's part of their value line or whatever, $20-$30 maybe. Yeah. David, what does Lindsay say?
Sure. Lindsay says, obligatory Dark Souls warning. Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin, is without a doubt better than the original release. Things make more sense story-wise, and gameplay, it's a bit harder now. Sure, this version was needed, but I'm so glad we got it.
Dark Souls 2 is canonically like a really good update. It's just so weird that it came out.
Did they get rid of any of the, like, annoying gameplay decisions?
It depends on what you mean by that.
I know, it just seems like whenever I'm like reading the Dark Souls wiki and there's some mechanic that's like, yeah, I would never want to have to deal with that. It's in Dark Souls 2.
Shrug, I don't know.
I just who not like there's something with like damage resistance or something like that being like super finicky and
Yeah, the only things they changed were enemy placement, and they updated. They're
okay.
like it was all like play stuff as opposed to system stuff. Yeah.
Enemies still disappear.
Yes. Yep. Ben, what does Justin say?
Justin says it's hard to convince people to try Star Control 2, the Ur-Quan Masters. It's free, old, and hard to compare to modern games. It doesn't need a remake, but I support anything that encourages people to play my favorite game.
Star Control 2 is really accessible now, as long as you play it with a map.
Okay.
And Urquan Masters is free, like, and it works on every system, I think. Yeah, Star
Okay.
Control's that's a really good game.
How old is the game?
I think Star Control 2, the first one came out, not the first one, you know what I mean? Its original release was in like 1992.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither of those are on my radar at all.
It's really good.
Both are they both like 4X games or?
They present and look like 4X games, but they are more similar to like a Mass Effect kind of conversation-based adventure game. Like you're going
Okay.
around all these different alien worlds and kind of like resolving their problems.
As you do.
Yeah. Let's see. And we have one more go around here. Juan writes, one game, both answers. Dot Hack was one of my favorite PS2 era JRPG series growing up, and I recently found out that the GU trilogy is getting a remaster for PS4. I practically foamed at the mouth when I heard that. It's got a bunch of quality of life adjustments that I feel like all the great remakes and remasters have. Not to mention it has an extra disc to catch you up to speed on the previous events. And also manages to close out the story with an extra episode and epilogue to answer any lingering questions of the past decade. Yeah, I totally miss the Dot Hack train. It just seemed like there were so many of them. Oh God, there were so many Dot Hack games. And I don't know what the difference between the GU system series is and the main one. Ignorance is no excuse, and probably not that interesting to talk about, but yeah. David, what does Gwillem say?
Willem says, Resident Evil for both answers. For all the good the GameCube version did, it didn't solve the one actual problem I had with the original. The game still froze for half a second every time the camera changed. That was a pity in 1995, but in 2002, it seemed absurd and hung over the entire thing. They'd fixed what wasn't broken and left the one broken thing unfixed. What was the point? Luckily, when the HD version came out a few years back, that problem was silently fixed without the one bugbear getting in the way of literally every moment of the game. The improvement shone through unimpeded.
Yeah. So definitely the content of the 2002 one, big thumbs up, great. The technical aspect, aside from the fact that they added boob jiggle to Jill, in the most recent kind of re-release of that remake. God, this is so confusing. Also big thumbs up. Yeah, that half second thing is something you really have to get used to. I'm gonna be honest, I'm still a little thrown off by it sometimes, if I'm getting used to
We
it.
still talk about boob jiggle?
No, I'm talking about the half second delay
Okay.
when the camera angle changes. It definitely happens. I'm still I'm playing Resident Evil 3 for WoF, and totally in effect there. Yeah. And weirdly enough, Ben, what does Ben say?
Ben says, I downloaded some of the Sega 3D classics on DS because they were on sale this week. And I have to say they're awesome. Lots of new options such as level select, difficulty slash credit options, music choices, and other artwork. The best bit is for games like Space Harrier, the 3D makes it easier to determine where enemies are and makes a perspective work a lot better than the regular 2D screen. I know lots of people hate 3D effect SND. I don't know what that means. Or effects and never use it. But for these games, it makes moving with the game space a lot easier and precise. You can tell these conversions have been treated with love in order to provide an enjoyable new way to experience these games rather than just being a ROM emulator package shoved into a 3DS platform. Cool.
Nice. I
feel like a Space Harrier would be a horrible idea.
I mean, like, it's like a space pirate?
No, I assumed it meant like the Harrier jet. Like, I feel like that's the airplane equivalent of doing those experiments. Like, let's see if the cat can land on its feet in zero gravity.
Yeah, you don't really need VTOL in outer space.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, so thank you everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. We can give our answers. Mine was taken a couple times and even signaled. Resident Evil Remake is definitely at the top of my list. I think my honorable mention would be Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
Oh, you took mine. I was going to ask if that would be considered a remake, so that answers question.
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah, it totally counts. Just because they took the rough content and storyline and setting of the first one and completely recontextualized it in a different play, and in kind of different framing. It's so good.
I'm not sure I really have one. Like, generally speaking, I'm not big on replaying games, so it would almost have to be a game that I'd like to play but couldn't for some sort of mechanical thing. So, like, I would say, you know, maybe, Alpha Protocol with, like, decent gameplay, or, Bloodborne without having to farm for healing.
Yeah. Like, that would be a mod if they had it on PC.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. If I was going to say, like, more traditional, I'm kind of excited. Was the remake of The Secret World, did that end up being a April Fool's Day joke?
It definitely exists. I've heard that it is not, like, appreciably different.
Okay.
In the ways, at least... It's not appreciably different in the ways that the people that I listened to would have hoped it would have been.
Cole, where would Grim Fandango fall on your list?
I never played enough of that remake to be able to tell. That is something I'm very happy exists from, like, a compatibility or technological angle, just because even though that is kind of a flawed game, people should be able to play it, you know, and you just were not able to before. So, and now you will forever, pretty much. Who knows? Knock on wood.
So, actually, I'm going to step back. I think the game I'd like to see remade would be if someone could make something that, like, captured EverQuest but was more realistically playable in terms of, like, there's, you know, in order to play EverQuest, you have to, devote, like, you know, months and months of time, so, like, there's no way I would ever go back to it,
right?
If there's some way that you could, like, take EverQuest and, like, convert it to, like, modern time scales.
Yeah, but then everybody would blow through it and there would be nobody sticking around to play it and give them money.
True.
Yeah, I agree. It would be nice to have that sense of, like, wonder and discovery back.
Yeah,
I will say that's one thing that good that Pokemon Go did, where they had, like, each level be, like, double the experience of the previous one.
Yeah.
So it definitely, like, you had to work a lot more to just gain ones, but it kind of kept it a level playing field for everyone.
Yeah.
See, I sort of miss the, like, Tactics Ogre version of, like, every level is 100 XP.
Yeah,
that's just me.
I don't know. Yeah,
I Also wanted to throw out one more, Resident Evil for the Wii, Resident Evil 4, when they ported that over.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
a
it's
good
really good, yeah.
Remake slash port. Yeah.
It was a good fit. Good fit for that input method.
I still think it's that wasn't the port, that was the original.
Nope, GameCube was the original. They brought it to Wii.
Yeah, isn't that what you said? I don't know. All Nintendo is a black box of disappointment for me.
I mean, it's there's definitely an objective truth about this. The original Resident Evil 4 came out on GameCube, and then two years later they brought it to the Wii.
The port to PlayStation, whatever. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, they made systems, only made one system after the N64, and was just called the Abomination, and that's been
who's they? Because there was
Nintendo.
The way you said that, it sounded like there was no good console ever made after the GameCube.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
they did make the perfect controller.
I guess we're going off the rails. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, to be fair, like, if you're comparing to PC, there's been no good console
Jesus
made
Christ.
Since then. But
is it normal for blood to come out of your tear ducts?
There's been no good Nintendo console made since the N64.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Pull the plug, Cole.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. was that your answer, Ben? The Shattered Memories. Did you have another one you wanted to throw in?
Resident Evil for the Wii.
Yeah,
a console that apparently does not exist.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Colossus VR.
Oh man, it doesn't exist.
And climb with the weird controllers you have for it.
Oh yeah, the treble climbing wall. Yep. Facebook.com/levelpodcast. Let's talk about the games we've been playing.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past week or so. Let's take a look here. I normally throw to whoever hasn't been here longest, and that I believe is going to be David. However, I don't really have anything to say, so I'm just going to say, hey, Sonic Mania continues to be good. Man, that Switch looks the Switch is great. I like my Switch a lot. They've got that indie showcase happening for the Switch. Nintendo is doing their indie showcase on Wednesday, which is tomorrow as of when we record this, and I'm really looking forward to that kind of stuff. But yeah, Sonic Mania. I didn't expect them to bring in a bunch of stuff from Sonic CD, but it's there.
Much better than the proposed Sonic Manic Depressive.
What? Sonic what? I don't get that joke.
Sonic
man.
Manic.
Oh, Sonic Mania, yeah. Okay, there we go. Sorry, it took me a second. I was a couple steps behind you.
No problem.
Yeah.
We're not all as fast as Sonic.
nor should we be. Yeah. So that's honestly what I've been playing outside of assignment stuff for their shows. David, how about you? What you been up to since you've been gone?
Sure. So I picked up Shadow Warrior 2 for, real cheap on Steam. And that's a interesting game. I guess this could have kind of been my answer for the show, even though I never played the original, because, you know, it's a remake of the old, this was like Wolfenstein era, the original, right?
It was like one of those things that was a little bit like, Rise of the Triad, where it was roughly equivalent to, or maybe on like a similar engine to like Duke Nukem 3D.
Right, yeah. So, they relatively recently remade it, and, it's now a fairly modern shooter. It's a really interesting game in a lot of ways. In terms of gameplay, it's kind of neat. It has a really strong hand-to-hand combat focus. There's lots of different, katanas and axes and chainsaws and things like that, and a fairly put together system. And then Similarly, you, since you are a pseudo ninja, you have double jump and the ability to do a dash, basically in any direction at any time. So the gameplay is very fast, fast paced, and you can do a lot of like hit and run type of tactics, things like that. It's also has one of the weirdest reloading systems I've ever seen in a game. In that,
how's it work?
There's basically a couple of reloading animations it uses. Well, first off, it's interesting because several of the reloading animations involve you like removing the magazine from a gun and then blatantly putting the same magazine back in, and now the gun is reloaded. So that's just kind of strange. But then also, there's basically for a lot of the guns, there is just one reloading animation that's always used. So, for example, I have a pump action shotgun that has can hold six shells, and if I fire one shell and reload, you proceed to load it up with three shells. If I fire six shells and reload, you proceed to load it up with six shells. Or with, three shells.
It's the difference then.
It's weird. And it's like that for a lot of guns where, like, it, no matter how much you would be reloading, it just plays some animation.
I mean, that sounds like the easier way to do it, to just make it, to give you like the animation that you need to reload it, as opposed to changing it up every time.
Yeah, I mean, it does have.
Did they do this intentionally, or was this like done because they were being lazy?
I think it's sort of a yes, type of thing. So a lot of the animations are very, very over the top. So for example, the animation for you loading the shotgun involves you like tossing two shells up in the air and like kind of catching them in the gun.
Now you do it like, Dark Tower movie style.
Similarly enough, a number of the guns have separate animations that play if it's already loaded. So like on a pistol, you flip the bird and like spin it on your finger. With the assault rifle, you like turn it over, eject the magazine so it pops up in the air, then quickly rotate the gun 360 degrees and catch it back in the magazine well.
What this sounds it's like those rare reload animations that would come up like in Battlefield Hardline or something like that.
Right.
Like there was a game where like right after it came out, there were these compilations of the versions of that, you know, only happened once every 1,000 reloads. Right.
Right. And so I guess what I'm saying is it's kind of weird because they sort of half-assed the actual reload animations, but then proceeded to add weird reload animations.
But does it affect the play at all, or is it just like a style thing? Like just
it's
saying
mainly
like hey,
a
this
style
is...
thing. The only thing it really affects the play would be like if you're using a shotgun that is individually loaded versus magazine loaded is a lot less relevant. But the game really isn't balanced around that the way like a more simulation based shooter would be. Mm. So it really doesn't matter. It's more just weird.
Right, right. So this is not like a game that is like Duke Nukem 3D. I had a misconception about this. Shadow Warrior 2 is the sequel to the like remake or re-release of the original Warrior.
Yes,
yeah. Definitely. So like this is like a full 3D, like pretty modern looking first person shooter game.
Yes.
It looks like Samurai Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of is. So the more weird thing is just the setting of the game is just very intensely weird. In terms of the basic plot is that you were a former in the first game you're a corporate samurai for Zilla Corporation, and you proceed to like cause problems, and ultimately the game ends with you like accidentally uniting the demon and human realm. And so then Shadow Warrior 2 kind of takes place some in the future, where, you know, demons have kind of taken over, and Zilla Corporation is the only, like, is kind of become the world government.
So it really is like Doom.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. The kind of the cool thing, though, is they very much have a kind of stereotypical like samurai aesthetic. So, you know, when you're in particularly the city scenes, it'll be like Kyoto style archways, except like made out of solid light and things like that. So it's kind of a neat setting. The other thing is just the. Just like the whole thing is just really weird. So like your hub world is like this kind of town where there's like, for example, your apartment is in a bar that just has like ninja dudes like hanging out at the bar drinking. Like it's just a very bizarre
so,
game.
So it's like if Duke Nukem was Japanese. Yeah, or an American version of an American version of a Japanese badass Duke Nukem.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. So, and I would say like the other kind of highlight slash notable thing is the writing is very, very silly. I mean, kind of, to give you an idea, they get a lot of mileage out of the fact that the main character's name is Lo Wang.
Right.
So it's basically dick jokes as far as the eye can see.
Right, right.
And I don't know, it's kind of interesting. In some ways, I sort of feel like it reminds me of like how Duke Nukem Forever should have been, in that, you know, it's very much, you know, written to be, you know, it is kind of a revival of this sort of you know, kind of immature, politically incorrect type of, you know, Duke Nukem type of hero.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, unlike, you know, Duke Nukem Forever, it seems like there was an understanding of, like, of the need not just to be blatantly misogynistic, I guess.
Right,
just...
right. To update the spirit, but not be, like, consciously a fucking dinosaur about the worst possible aspects of it.
Yeah. And I feel like, ironically enough, like, actually the dick choke thing is actually a lot of, I think, how they managed to pull it off, in that there
but pull off the dick joke, yeah.
Well, in that there's a lot of, like, sexual jokes, but they're explicitly pretty much always about your character, you know, which makes it a lot easier to not, you know, just be creepy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
The other kind of weird sort of plot element or decision or whatever is, you know, it is a little weird of like some of the stuff. It's like, is this maybe a little like racist, or like, you know, with the kind of, you know, some of the, you know, let's make dick jokes about someone having the last name Wang, and, you know, some of that type of stuff.
Or if not racist, then like culturally insensitive or culturally immature, like,
right.
Eh, you know,
and kind of one of the weird things is like one of the plot elements is basically the kind of the guy that's in effect, like, the like old mentor guy is the local swordsmith who's black, and like it's, you know, like one of the plot points is like, how did a black guy become a Japanese, you know, swordsmithing master? And there's, you know, a whole backstory of basically father was in World War II, ended up marrying, you know, there's a whole backstory to it, but it's just kind of weird seeing that like be very directly kind of pseudo addressed or something. I don't know. It's just like I say, it's weird.
Right. Weird is the watchword. Yeah.
So overall, like, it's one of those games that it's kind of again weird to me in that like it's a game I'm intensely enjoying. I would kind of recommend. At the same time, like, it's also a very stupid game.
That's fine. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Metal Gear Rising, you know?
True. Yeah. I guess I would say that's the one other thing I really like with the characterization is I feel like they do a good job of being sort, you know, I know Jala really, really despised Devil May Cry because of the degree to which, you know, the main character was kind of this, you know, smart ass asshole and was just, you know, came across as sort of insufferable to her. And I feel like they do a good job in that, you know, that kind of is this character's MO, except that it's, they do a good job of like all of the characters pretty much recognize and will call him out for just being an idiot.
Right. It's part of the joke.
I really like one of my favorite lines just early on is, you know, the Smith, you know, makes some comment about like, oh, you know, intimidation is the you know, tool of the noble art or something. Your character better than being the tool of the noble fart. And oh, and the Smith just replies, that is intensely stupid.
Yeah.
So on
one hand, like, okay, cool, you acknowledge it. On the second hand, if characters are calling it out in the story, maybe don't do it in the first place.
I feel like it more to me, like, I enjoy the way it comes across. I feel like it comes across as just kind of being, you know, kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I guess it comes across less to me with being like bad writing and more just, again, being sort of silly. I'd compare it a little bit, although not to the same way, but to a little bit of a similar effect to like how some of you know, Saints Row will sort of, you know, riff off of, you know, some of the you know, ridiculous stupidity of the way things are written.
Right. So here's a question. In a game where you oftentimes are going to be attacking with kind of these melee weapons, you know, either swords, I see claws and stuff in the video footage that I'm watching, how do you deal with closing the distance with enemies that like appear to be these crazy orcs with magic or other people with guns? Like, do you have to match guns with guns, or does it actually empower you to play with these cool ninja toys that you have?
Yeah, definitely like doing the melee is very viable even against people with guns. Some of it is you can, you know, take a fair number of shots and you have a healing ability that's fairly powerful. Similarly, you can eventually get like the ability to, you know, heal a percentage of the damage you deal, you know, things like that. But
does it have persistent health, or does it have like Halo 2 style, you take cover if you are about to die kind of stuff?
Strictly speaking, it has persistent health. However, generally like I've never had a scenario where I didn't have enough healing. And like I've, at about, a third of the way through the game, I got an item, was able to purchase an item from the shop that basically made it so that I couldn't pick up health packs, but my healing skill no longer took mana, so I could use it whenever I wanted. So basically, it's, strictly speaking, it doesn't regenerate, but it's not at all like a conservation type of game.
Okay.
But the big thing that makes things viable is your kind of ninja dash ability. Basically, there's no real cooldown on it or anything like that. So it's very much like you can do a dash to get right up an enemy's face, or to kind dash to the side to sort of fade out of the way of ranged attack, things like that. So it feels a lot like almost a lot like a platinum game type of feel to that.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a game kind of tailor made for you, which is cool. Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it. I'll be interested to see like if it gets repetitive, because that is one thing that's a little bit too bad, is that basically its only verb is kill,
Right.
which gets a little bit frustrating, because you'll keep getting missions where it's like, oh yeah, go talk to these people. It's like, no, they are going to turn on me because I literally have no way of interacting with them other than killing them.
Right.
So,
Huh.
but yeah.
This is Shadow Warrior 2 or the first one?
This is Shadow Warrior 2.
Okay.
Shadow Warrior 1, I couldn't get over the enemies, like just screaming and like rolling along the grounds in agony when you like cut their hands off and stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like they toned that down.
Oh, good. A little bit
So
less, you're dismantling people and they are reacting as though you dismantled them.
yeah, it's I don't know. It's just it's such a weird game.
Is that all?
Yes, that is it.
Cool. Ben, how about you?
Right, I also got only one thing to talk about, but it's a bigger one maybe. I finished Uncharted, as you correctly predicted, Cole.
There we
Is
go.
this the Uncharted Sans Nathan one?
This is, yeah, no Nathan to be found, or Marco Po No, as an achievement suggests. Yeah, soak it in. It's really good, though. I mean, if you like other Uncharted games, this is right up your alley. It seems like they have kind of like taken the good bits out of like their last two or three games and kind of crammed them into one. I mean, the only real complaint that I have is like at parts, it's a little bit formulaic, where it's like, I feel like if you've played one Uncharted game, you've kind of played them all story-wise, where it's like, adventure with partner in the first third of the story. Like some sort of incident will happen a third of the way through that'll cause a rift between your partner for the game, and then you guys will be upset for the next third of the game. But then you'll reunite two thirds of the way through the game, and then you'll, like have a strong finish in the last third of the game. Not that that's like strictly only an Uncharted thing, but I feel like the story can sometimes be formulaic a little bit with that. Likewise, the bad guy, somewhat generic, like he's just a generic bad guy, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
That aside, it's still a fun game. I mean, it's yeah. Let me think what I can say about it. Like the driving system's really good. They still have the climbing system. I don't want to spoil the ending of it, but they have some really good kind of updated systems that they've used in past games that they've kind of like perfected in this game. Maybe the only other criticism I could lobby against it is at times it ve feels very similar to Tomb Raider, since you're playing as Chloe and just kind of brunette girl with ponytail, like climbing around caves. It sometimes, yeah, feels exactly like that game. But
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think what?
From a story standpoint, she was like the pseudo additional love interest, right? In
In
like
two.
two or three. And then
Yeah, it
is
she was
she
like
was
the
she like always an adventurer type person, or?
Yeah, she's like female version of Nathan Drake, but in the second game it was kind of portrayed like she's like the devil on Nathan's shoulder, and then like his wife, I forget her name,
Aline
is
or
like the
something
angel on his shoulder. Yeah, it's like kind of like the good, I don't know.
like that.
The dangerous versus say, I don't know, whatever.
The Betty versus the
Femme
Veronica, right?
fatale.
Yeah. But I mean, they do a good job of transitioning characters. So, I mean, like it doesn't feel like anyone's missing from, even though like Nathan's not in the game, like it doesn't feel like you're really missing out on anything. It's still like a really good game, you know?
Yeah.
And like they do a good job with character development of the main characters that they do have. So in terms of like the main two, Chloe and Nadine, I believe.
Yep.
And the, like the environments are just amazing. Like that's definitely like the star of the show. Is like, I mean, everything is so beautiful in this game. Like the graphics are amazing. The way that you interact with the environments and like the way that they're able to continuously surprise you despite having done all these like things in other games, like they still do a great job of doing that, of constantly like kind of throwing curveballs your way.
Do they have any kind of big addition? I'm thinking of, you know, when I play it Uncharted 4, them adding the rope with the grappling hook mechanic to it. Like, is there something that is kind of in line with that that they've added additionally, or does this feel mechanically like it is an expansion pack?
I'm trying to think. They continue a lot of the mechanics, so there's still like the rope, there's still like the sliding mechanic that they had in Uncharted 4. Off the top of my head, I can't remember a mechanic they added specifically for this one. They still have like they kept the pickaxe climbing system that they added in 4 as well. Off the top of my head, I mean, outside of the co-op system, I mean, you could kind of argue that, even though that's also kind of in the previous games, mm-hmm. like attacking a person with another character that you have. But I mean, I don't think anything is, at least not coming to mind, like nothing is like standout new mechanic in this game. But they definitely kind of perfected or like polished the previous mechanics that they had, where a lot of the rope swinging feels really good. They do a lot of like, they do a couple really creative and surprising things with it at a couple points that make it really cool. Like the fighting system, like I know they've been working on that since Uncharted 3, but that's also really good too, because it just feels so seamless. Like you, like where you fight with a person and how you interact with the environment around you, it's like completely dynamic. And so that's like really impressive. Mm-hmm. They did one interesting thing that they did in this that maybe they haven't done before, is there's one specific area of the game where it's kind of like an open world, where they just give you kind of like a sandbox where it's like, okay, here's a map of the place. Here's like some of the main objectives. Here's some side stuff that you can go check out as well. And it's, they do a good job of it. It's not like a map with all these things highlighted at first. Like you basically explore your environment and you might find an area that will have a map there that you can kind of mark down on your own map. And like, so you're very like naturally exploring the entire environment. It seems like very, you feel like an explorer. So that part's nice. Really cool. And so that, maybe that's one thing that was kind of unique about this game, is it seems like they could easily transition into like a Grand Theft Auto environment, judging what they did there. Mm-hmm. And it would not be a huge leap for them to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you like the Uncharted games, you will definitely like this game. Like it has all the same sort of like notes, and it's definitely a well-presented game.
Yeah. So do you think, are they going to continue making games with whoever her name is, Nathan Ida?
Nadine and Chloe? Yeah.
Yes.
They add a few more familiar characters as well. But yeah, I think that they've definitely set it up that they could continue on with them as the main characters, and it would seem fine. I think they did a good job of developing, especially Nadine, because you know, in Uncharted 4 she was kind of like you know, like a badass general person who like beat people up all the time, but like not necessarily having a lot of depth. So they did a good job of
what,
like
more
expanding
depth you need,
like,
let's be honest,
to beat up Nathan Drake. Yeah. No, that's fair. I don't know, so I did think they did a good job of like elaborating on that and kind of being able to do some world building with that.
Cool.
And nice. Then added bonus, because I think they did this on Uncharted 4 as well, and they've done this on like almost all the games, I think, is after you beat the game, you can do unlockables, where you can unlock like different skins for the characters or different like audio formats or everything. But one of the things that they have too is they have different render modes where you can render the game in ASCII characters.
Oh,
you can
geez.
Render. Yeah. You can render the game in cell shaded. You can render it in like 8-bit. It's just really cool. It's just really impressive that they have all these systems, because it shows like how like flexible of an engine that they've made, that you can kind of like plug and play all these different things.
It's like a shader. I think that's the same tech that they do to make the game more accessible. I think they have different filters for different kind of color deficiencies built in as well. It's using a similar treatment to hit both of those.
And maybe I don't know if we mentioned this or not. I think this is maybe an older story, but this is something I looked up after watching the credits. Is one of the co-presidents of Naughty Dog stepped down back in April, but there was a like special thanks to him at the game at the credits. That was something that I did not realize. He was one of the co-CEOs of the company, and he left in April to kind of pursue some more personal projects.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. Yeah. But,
is it a lengthy game? Because like Uncharted, I didn't get very far in 4, but it just kind of like, I saw how many chapters there were, and I was like, oh, this totally would have overstayed its welcome. Like, how's the pace, and does it get through it in a reasonable manner?
I mean, it's hard for me to say. I have like a biased opinion when I'm playing games anymore, where it's like, I gotta finish it for the show, so I have something to talk about. I know, right? Well, I mean, okay, left to my own devices, I would probably just play Magic and Rocket League for the rest of my life. So I need it's a good thing. I need variety. Yeah. There's still like definitely moments though where you get into the groove and like you can't put it down. But I don't know. It's I would say it's probably about maybe 10 to 15 hours of gameplay. Mm-hmm. There's 9 chapters. So the thing I did like about it, though, is I did like the length about it, because I do feel that most of the Uncharted games usually like kind of drag in the half to 5/6 of the way through the game, maybe. they usually have strong finishes, but usually it's like, oh, I got to do like another like explorer section here and like another puzzle section. But like I should be chasing these people now. So this is just kind of like slowing me down. But yeah. So this game doesn't really suffer from that, because it's like a shorter content. You move at a pretty solid pace, so
yeah,
that's probably something that's to its advantage.
How long to beat pins this at 7.5 hours, whereas Uncharted 4 is a very bloated 16. Uncharted, like how long to beat is not the ultimate source of truth, but like 16 is really long compared to the rest of the series.
Yeah. And it also depends on your completionist, because the open world part that I mentioned, like you could spend like a couple hours in it trying to complete everything, or you could just kind of breeze right through it. So
yeah,
a little bit of variability there, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So overall, if you like the Uncharted games and you're comfortable with paying $40 for it, totally worthwhile.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a grind to me. Do you want to button it up? The correct answer is yes.
The credit. You have no support this week, Cole. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez. Thank you so much for... Would you say toggles?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're taking and turning it. Different buttons. Yeah. Yep. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. I don't know if you're tuning into this at all, for downloading and listening to this. We really appreciate it. Again, all of our best goes to Jala. A reminder that as of right now, as of a recording, things aren't great, but her and her family and her pets are all physically safe and still trying to minimize and assess the damage. And we don't know when we're going to have her back on, but you know, it won't be soon enough. Anyway, for the show, if you want to help us out, just tell your friends and come back next week when we will be back. If you have any money to spare, consider going over to the Red Cross and giving that. Not going to mention other things. Do things to support the relief effort in Houston if you can. Otherwise, we're so happy to have you, and we look forward to having you back. I'm Cole Ross. I don't know why I sounded so uncertain there. Hi, I'm Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter. Hi.
Are you sure you have not been replaced by a synth?
I am. Would you believe me? Cole Ross?
Yeah. I am human. Would you believe me if I said either? David, who are you?
I am David. A podcaster is me. No, I'm David Mysmith. I can be found at actually Mysmith777 on Twitter, as long as you don't care about there actually being tweets.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkel B on Twitch.
Awesome. And stick around for some titles. Guys, I was lazy. I didn't write anything down. Who has candidates?
The only one I had was Own Bones? Question mark.
Okay. I think the question mark makes that, actually. Ben, what you got?
I just wrote down Downer at the beginning of the episode, and then I didn't write down anything else. Oh. Apologies.
Ooh.
I think we're quickly learning that some combination of Jala and Dennis hold this podcast together.
They're the happiness brigade. I have an empty bullet point below that, if that could be a contender as well.
Ooh, bullet point. Yeah, I'm gonna put that on the list. That way it is put into the poll at the end of the year. I think Own Bones question mark is the right choice. I don't want to linger on it being a downer.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
I wasn't happy when I read it. Watching it or listening to it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm going to get this edited up, and I'm going to go to bed.
All right, man. All right. Good luck this weekend.
Yes, thank you. Have a good holiday weekend, everybody.
Peace, y'all.
Bye.